This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. In May, Baltimore Archbishop William E. Laurie announced the final plan for Seek the City to Come, a parish planning initiative designed to strengthen and revitalize the Catholic Church's presence in Baltimore City and some neighboring communities in Baltimore County. Under the plan, the number of parishes in those regions will be reduced from 61 to 23, and the number of worship sites will be reduced from 59 to 30. Seek the City is now in its implementation stage as many parishes begin the process of coming together to form new faith communities in the coming months. Auxiliary Bishop Bruce A. Lewandowski, who has spearheaded the Seek the City initiative over the last 2 years, has emphasized that every parish is being asked to evangelize the neighborhoods surrounding their communities. Joining us to talk about how that will take place and how the Archdiocese of Baltimore will be supporting parishes in a new approach to evangelization is Julie St. Croix. Julie was recently appointed the new director of Seek the City, taking over the position from her predecessor, Jerry Bird. Julie is the director of the Office of Parish Renewal for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. She is a former pastoral associate for Bishop Dennis J. Madden in the Urban Vicariate and a former coordinator of Pastoral Leadership Formation. She also has 6 years' experience as Director of Religious Education at St. John the Evangelist in Frederick. Julie, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
It's my pleasure. It's great to be with you, George.
Evangelization really has been at the heart of the Seek the City process from the first time that was launched a couple years ago. Yet I don't think a lot of people understand what is meant by evangelization, especially in the context of what we're trying to do with Seek the City. Could you explain what evangelization is and how the approach will be different from what we might have done 50 or 60 years ago?
Yes, absolutely. I think evangelization is a word that has been co-opted very many times by our evangelical brothers and sisters. And many Catholics are kind of confused about this word, thinking that it means standing on a street corner on a soapbox trying to tell people that they're going to go to hell unless they come to church. The Catholic approach to evangelization is very different. And in fact, it harkens back to the early days of the church. It is really primarily built on relationship. And if we think of the early apostles, they went out and they built on the relationships they had with people. They got to know them. They walked with them, just like Jesus did with his disciples. And that's really what we're talking about. It is like when you go to a movie and you see an awesome movie and you can't wait to go and tell your friends about it and you want them to go see it. The same should be true of our faith, that we should be so excited about our relationship with the Lord and the true presence that we have in the church and the communities that we belong to, that we can't help but go out and share that with others. So evangelization is very different today than it was in the past. The Catholic Church in the heydays of the 1950s and 60s, especially in the city of Baltimore, didn't have to really do much to evangelize because the community that was around them was primarily Catholic. And as they had large families and the families kept coming and everyone would come to the parishes. The real shift we have nowadays is, like Pope Francis talks about, we need to go out. We can't be a church that is shut in on itself. So this is true not only in the city of Baltimore, but throughout the Archdiocese, throughout actually the United States, is the call is that now we are to be sent into our workplaces, into our schools, into our places of leisure, into our homes, just to share the good news of what the Lord has done for us and invite them into a deeper relationship with him and with his church.
For a lot of Catholics, that's not really built into their DNA. Like for Catholics, we like the good mass. We like to have our private devotions, but when it comes to talking openly about our faith, it's something a lot of people shy away from. How do you change that mindset or at least give people the skills to start thinking in that new approach?
Well, it's not easy. I think that it oftentimes is helpful to allow people to reflect on their own story. A lot of people don't take the time to look back and through their life, through the ups and downs, and see and reflect on how the Lord has moved with them. So actually, it's through storytelling. That's our best way that we evangelize and share faith. Because when we reflect and can share intentionally what the Lord has done in our lives, that is opening the door for a conversation about God, about how we are made in the image and likeness of God, how we are all sons and daughters of the Lord, and that is our truest identity. So some of what we are thinking of doing, and some things that have been very effective and we recognize, is that when people start to engage in those conversations, which aren't typical in the workplace or even in their houses, and they kind of practice and discern what, how can I share this story if I'm asked? The scripture says, be always ready for an explanation for your joy. And this is kind of what we're talking about, is how do you do that? Another aspect is how do we pray with and for people? So helping people to kind of reflect on that. We have a treasure trove of lots of rote prayers that are beautiful and are great fallbacks when we just don't know what to say before the Lord. But maybe to also expand that and think about how can we pray with and for people. So part of the initiative and part of moving into this new phase of Seek the City is the Institute for Evangelization is providing some practical evangelization tools. And the idea is to start to form people in how to do that, and then to send them out so they can do that with others and to help it to grow that way. Because it is really through those relationships. It's not going to be a program. It's not going to be sort of saying, oh, if we just do this, everyone will understand and go. But it's literally walking with people, finding out where they are, and then helping them to move towards the next step to be sent to be missionary disciples in their communities.
One of the things that Bishop Lewandowski has repeatedly emphasized is that we really need to have evangelization permeate everything that the parish does. And that extends even to if you have a soup kitchen or you're a clothing drive. It's just not just a matter of giving out food or giving out sweaters. It you also should invite people into a relationship with Christ. And that's a new thing for a lot of Catholics as well. Could you talk about the importance of that?
Absolutely. Parishes spend a lot of time and energy and work in their ministries, and that's also true of our city parishes. There are so many good works and things that are being done, but we have to look at them through the eyes of evangelization and consider, are there ways that we can amplify or even tweak what they're doing so that they can be moments of encounter with the Lord? So we have places that do festivals or street fairs and things like that. What if we were to form people? There's a wonderful program called St. Paul Street Evangelization that is literally about how do we just approach strangers. So this is a little different than what I just spoke about, but even just that sense of how can we just share a little bit about faith, maybe answer some questions. There's so much misinformation that people have about Catholics. So how could we kind of scatter seeds widely and see what can happen? And that kind of approach could also be used in soup kitchens and that kind of thing. Because ultimately, we know, St. Augustine said, our hearts are we have a hole in us that is not filled unless God fills it. And there's so many times, especially in today's world, that people are trying to fill that hole with success or even with addiction or with just, I will be happy when ... And we know that we can only be truly happy and free when we are centered in the Lord. So it's going to be taking all of the ministries and initiatives of parishes and just really saying, how can we use this to help as a vehicle to help people to come and encounter the Lord and his church?
I know in the past, some parishes might designate one day a year when they would go and knock on doors throughout mm-hmm. their territory. And that's a good thing to reach out, but that's not really what we're talking about with evangelization here. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I think that the most powerful thing we have to bring more people to the church are the people who are there themselves. So I think a lot of the work has to be done to help each individual Catholic who attends any parish in our diocese to understand that by their baptism, they are called and sent to share with others, because a pastor or a parish staff, they pretty much work with the people who are coming already to the parish. But the people who come to the parish go out into many different areas of our society through their work, through their leisure, through their homes. So the idea is to help to form them so they can be more comfortable doing that. The whole goal of Seek the City was to align our resources so we can more intentionally do that and spend less time on the administration or the buildings or even our resources being sucked into areas that are not evangelizing or helping us to truly be a light brightly visible in the city.
You touched on some of the ways the Archdiocese is going to try to support the parishes in that. Could you expand on that? I know there's going to be some evangelization modules that are formed to help parishes learn how to engage their parishioners to evangelize. And then also the Emmaus teams are also doing a lot of work in that. Could you talk about that and maybe explain a little bit about what the Emmaus teams are as well?
Sure. So the Emmaus teams are part of the Office of Parish Renewal. These are folks who are accompanying pastors and staff and leadership, helping them in whatever kind of formation they need. So for example, if they say, you know what, we want our leadership to really dive into what does it mean to pray with and for someone, we could offer a workshop like that. They also are going to kind of help to coordinate the folks at the Catholic Center so that we can come in together as a collaborative cooperating team so that we can help remove any obstacles or barriers in the way so that we can start focusing and moving the parishes forward. I think it's really key, and it's been a real shift. I've been working for the Catholic Center for 12 years, and in the last couple of years, the amount of collaboration that's happening, the breaking down of silos in the Catholic Center has been huge, and it's been a real testament to the folks who work here that we really want to serve the parishes, whether it's through the finances, through the facilities, the advancement, the human resources, our cultural offices, who also offer specific to the Hispanic or the Black Catholic experience, ways that they best can evangelize and form people as missionary disciples. So all of these moving parts are coming together with the Office of Parish Renewal and the Parish Renewal Specialist to kind of serve the pastor. We're here to help him and his leadership in whatever is the next piece that they need to move through. I think we recognize that this is a difficult change. There's a lot of pieces that people need to keep their eyes on. And our role as a Catholic Center is to just help make focus what needs to be done and just help with some of the bits and pieces so it doesn't become overwhelming for the pastor or for the leadership.
Well, our guest today is Julie St. Croix. She is the newly appointed director of Seek the City to Come. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. I'm George Matisek. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Many of the over 100 pilgrims from the Archdiocese of Baltimore who attended the National Eucharistic Congress, July 17th through 21st in Indianapolis, are leaving the historic gathering renewed in faith and more determined to spread devotion to the Blessed Sacrament in their home parishes and local communities. The first National Eucharistic Congress in 83 years concluded with a July 21st Mass at Lucas Oil Stadium that attracted more than 50,000 people. In the days leading up to the culminating liturgy, participants attended various liturgies, Eucharistic adoration, special talks, and a massive Eucharistic procession on the streets of downtown Indianapolis. Baltimore Archbishop William E. Laurie, Vice President of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, was present throughout the week, along with Baltimore Auxiliary Bishops Adam J. Parker and Bruce A. Lewandowski. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. The Vatican is installing a new set of 9 bullet and shatterproof glass panels in front of one of its most famous works of art, Michelangelo's marble Pietà sculpture in St. Peter's Basilica. The new glass panes were crafted for improved security and maximum transparency and visibility for the thousands of visitors who visit Christianity's largest church each day. In the run-up to the Holy Year 2025, restoration work on the side chapel of the Pietà housing the sculpture and glass barrier in front, began in May. Work is expected to finish in September. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at the Catholic Review, I'm Kevin Parks.
Have a burning question about the Catholic Church? Curious about faith, traditions, current issues, or ways of deepening your spiritual life? Now's your chance to ask a bishop. Call in to Catholic Review Radio and leave a recording of yourself asking a question for our special guest, Baltimore Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker. Whether it's about the sacraments, church teaching, or everyday faith, no question is too big or too small. Your question may be featured on an upcoming episode of Catholic Review Radio with Bishop Parker. Dial 443-263-0230 now to ask your question. Don't miss out, your voice matters. Again, that's 443-263-0230. And be on the lookout for our special Ask a Bishop episode coming soon.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. We're talking today to Julie St. Croix. She is the newly appointed director of Seek the City to Come, the pastoral planning initiative for the city of Baltimore and some neighboring communities in Baltimore County. Julie, you've been involved in this process since its beginning, and now you're the director of Seek the City. What are your goals as you get started in this role?
I've really enjoyed walking with the parishes through the last 2 years. And my goal is to build on the wonderful, great work that Jerry Bird did in getting us to this point. The past 2 years were really a time of listening, a time of just exploring, of visioning. And it was very powerful to see the leadership come together to share their struggles, to share their joys and their hopes. And we are now at a point where we have a plan and path to move forward. So now we're moving into this more building, evangelizing parishes phase. And some of my goals for this role is really accompaniment, is really to help to move things forward, to help to walk with the people. Many of them are grieving right now. Some of them are excited about the prospect. So just to continue the good work and energy that Jerry shepherded over the last 2 years, to move it forward so that people can see the hope and the Easter Sunday that's coming out of what is a Good Friday for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So some of the steps that we're working on, we are inviting parishes to form transition teams. Some places are already moving on that. Some are thinking about it and discerning. It's kind of summertime, so it's a little bit of a difficult time to do that. But the goal here is to just really make sure, for as we are bringing parishes together, as parishes are going to merge, that we want to make sure that all their good works and ministries that are happening continue. So I know we've heard from a few people who are concerned, you know, what about their food bank that is at a parish that is slated to merge? And we need to find out, like, how we can make sure that that good ministry continues. And maybe it's in a different space in that neighborhood, or what that could look like. So we're going to really rely on the leadership of the parishes to really share their ministries so that they can come together. And the goal is as well, is that by doing that, we might be able to build. We already have some places who are looking at their faith formation, their family programs, and realizing that, well, we only had a handful of kids at one this parish and a handful of kids at the other parish, but now we have two handfuls, which is better. So it can make for a more positive experience for formation for those families. So all those kind of moving pieces will be part of what we're going to be looking at as we move forward, along with the other pieces that we need to, the administration side, the facilities, finances, HR, all those kinds of pieces that will need to come together.
Have some of the communities come together already in terms of meeting with the merge? If you've got three or four parishes coming together, have they all come together, at least the leaders, to meet one another? Or if they're not familiar, what's that process like?
Some of them have jumped right in. Some of them are a little slower. Some of them were already part of a pastorate, so it just means that they're focusing a little bit more differently on their moving forward. Honestly, some of the new pastors were just assigned 3 days ago. Nice. So it's just going to take a little time. We need to give them a chance to get to know the community first before moving forward intentionally. But it really varies depending on the place to place. You know, some of our new parishes are bringing together quite a few other parishes, so that process is going to take a little more time.
And a lot of these communities will likely have farewell masses and that sort of thing in the coming months. I know for most of it's December 1st or the first Sunday of Advent when this all takes place. Are parishes starting that kind of planning?
Yes, they are. And we are giving them that window to kind of figure out when does it make sense? When is the best time to have those last masses? So the idea would be is that for most of them, if not most of them, they would have their first mass as a new parish in Advent. So there's a lot of preparation into doing that. We want the parishes that are merging to look at what is going to be a meaningful liturgy for them. What are some of their traditions that they want to make sure they carry forward to their new place? And so that really is something that we want to work with the people of that parish, because we don't know what those things are. We want them to help to plan it. And there are several places that have already announced dates for their last masses as they're starting to come together. Yeah. Okay.
You had mentioned that a lot of people are obviously grieving through this process. What is the Archdiocese doing to try to offer some support? It's difficult for a lot of people that have had generations of ties to a certain parish.
Yeah, I think what we are trying to do is to provide some folks that we know that are formed and are Catholic and who are counselors or people that could walk with parishes through different things. We've been working with pastors to try to assure that they are staying healthy as well, because this is difficult for them. We are providing some resources, some outside resources for people. The key thing is we are calling upon Catholic counselors and resources that can help support parishes in that. It's difficult because grief is such an individualized experience. So while some in the parish may be really angry or may be really sad, or others have accepted and are excited about moving forward. So you can't just do a one kind of stop shop for grief management. Everyone's going to go through it differently. Mm-hmm. But we're just really encouraging the community to reach out and support one another as they go through that, but then also providing some outside resources for that.
We have about a minute left. Mm-hmm. What are you most excited about in this process? We've gone through 2 years of planning and discussions. Now we're moving forward. What are you most excited about?
I'm really excited about the potential to really move these parishes and shift them to become more evangelizing and actually become a model for the rest of the diocese. I think that we've been, as humans, it's very hard to change. So many times we belong to a parish, we do things the way we've already always done them, because that's where our comfort is. But I think with this transition, it's going to be a catalyst for some really good and innovative thinking about how do we really serve the community where the parish is. And I'm very excited about that. I'm also excited to see hopefully the rest of the diocese, the parishes outside of Seek the City. I've heard from a few of them that really want to support, and not financial support per se, but really come in and help mentor or help to learn even from the city parishes what is working and what could be done. So I think that wider collaboration is really important. It is a chance to really unify us as the body of Christ, to recognize that we are all called to support one another. When one of us is hurting or when one of us is joyful, we all feel that together. So I'm really looking forward to an increased sense of collaboration and potential for real evangelization that can really change the city of Baltimore.
And where can people go for more information, or if they have questions?
They could go to seekthecity.com. We are still, they could also email us at seekthecity@archbold.org and or call and reach out. We'd be happy to hear from people. People seem to be, feel free to express and share what they're going through. Please also talk to your pastor if you have any questions or concerns. Each parish is different and their journey will be different. And so just encourage you to see where God and pray for what's going on. Pray that your gifts may be called forward and be willing, have the courage to offer them for your parish for through this transition so that we can really help the parishes to become evangelizing.
Great. Well, our guest today has been Julie St. Croix. She is the director of Seek the City to Come. Julie, thanks again so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
You're welcome.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbold.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.